Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you so much for your love and for your mercy, for the grace, the power that you have poured out to us. Oh Lord, we know that without you we can do nothing. So I pray, Father, that it would be our heart's desire to spend time with you each and every day, all day long. Let us to know that you never leave us, but we sometimes forget about you. We thank you, Lord, that you know our frame. You know that we're but dust and ashes, that we are like sheep and we have all gone astray. We thank you, Lord, for being the good shepherd and bringing us back to our basics, to our roots, to those things that are important to us. So, Father, I just thank you. And I pray, Father, that as we look into the things of your word today, that your spirit would be poured out upon your people, that we would know that it is you that teaches us, that you are the one that receives all the glory. So, Lord, I pray that it would be us as witnesses for you that reflect your glory to a lost and dying world. Thank you, Lord. We love you, and we pray that your word would be fruitful to our ears. In Jesus' name, amen. So let us turn in our Bibles to... Let's turn in our Bibles. Ephesians chapter 1. Now, Ephesians is indeed a wonderful book. It is. I called it last week when we were. I was introducing this. I was saying that this is kind of a mystical book, and it is indeed a mystical book because the first chapter of Ephesians, Paul is going to fire hose us with all manner of doctrine, doctrine that is necessary for us to understand as believers in him. And as he goes, you're going to see, and as I'm sure as you've done your scripture reading throughout the week, and you've read this over and over again, you come to realize that Paul is the master of the run-on sentence. You'll see that in Ephesians 1, there are five sentences in the whole chapter. Now, what does that mean, really? And that's why I call it a fire hose, because Paul is just, and he's just pouring out to the Ephesians all of this good doctrine that they need to know. And it's mindful for us to get in and start to pick apart the details. And I believe that that's what the Holy Spirit would have us to do as we go through these things. There is so much there, and there's so much that we could stumble over or miss altogether if we're not careful to chew it up in little bits and pieces. And it's said that there's a saying that goes on that says, then how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Exactly right. As much as you can take at that particular time. So as we're going through here, you may think that we're just crawling along here, but these are important doctrines that the Lord wants us to know. The Ephesians. Now, if you go to the book of the Revelation, one of my favorite books, you see that the Lord wrote seven letters to seven churches. Paul wrote seven letters to seven churches, and so there's a kind of an interesting balance here. But the first letter that he goes to is the Ephesians. In fact, let's just go ahead and turn there real quick, and we'll just go through that. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. John is on the Isle of Patmos, and he receives this message, this revelation from Jesus Christ. And he says, write unto the seven churches. And so the first church is to the church of Ephesus. And he says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne and hast patience, and for my namesake hast labored and hast not fainted. Man, that's a great report card all of a sudden. You know, if I was to bring something like that home to my parents when I was in school, man, they'd say, right on. Except for the next verse. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hatest, thou hast that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Now, just to clarify, because some people would take this as says, remember from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works. What first works is he talking about? Is he talking about there the labor and the patience and bearing them that are evil? No, he's not talking about. He's talking about the first love. That's the first work. Remember, what is the work of God? Jesus told us what the work of God, how do I work the works of God, the question was. And the answer is to believe on Jesus Christ, whom God hath sent. That is the work of God. All of these other things are byproducts. They're offshoots of believing in Jesus Christ. Now let's go back to Ephesians, keeping this in our head because we're going to be popping back there from time to time, being in the book of Ephesians. I'm going to draw on this book. And as we can see, there's going to be a parallel about these things. It's about God's love for us and showing us, revealing to us what he has in store for them that love him. And this is the thing that we really need to grab hold of because, you know, we saw in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. This is, I believe, to get us focused on what reality is. It isn't this life. This life, as we read in the Psalms and in our scripture reading, we saw that the Lord tries the righteous. What does that mean? That means he puts us into temptations, trials, and tribulations. And why? To try us. Because he needs to know what we're going to do? No, he already knows that. To prove to us where we are. To show us that we have not arrived. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands because I already know the answer. I'm not going to say, how many of you think that you have arrived into spiritual fullness? No one. And that's the place where we need to be. We really need to know that we need more from God. But we do have enough. We do have enough. We have the vision. So he starts off, where does the blessings come from? It comes from Christ, who is seated at the right hand of the Father. Why is he seated at the right hand of the Father? Because he came and paid the penalty for sin. He was the sacrifice that was predicted, that was foretold throughout the ages, would come and take away the sin of the world. So this is where our focus then starts to be. And that's why I like the Revelation so much, because when we get into chapter 4, we see the throne room of God. We see the four living creatures before the Lord, the throne of God, singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." You see, and when they do that, the 24 elders that are seated around the throne, they fall on their faces and they join in the chorus. And this is what we look for. This is what we're looking at. This is where we are now able to go. Whereas before, when we were sinners, we were kept outside. We weren't privy to the information. And now the Lord is revealing it to us. Because you are a son of God, because you have that adoption, you are now able to go into the Holy of Holies. And you're able to bring your petitions before your Father. Because now he is your Father because you have been adopted into the family. You are one of his children. And he says, invites you to come. Come freely. Whosoever will, come. Let him ask what he wills, and I will answer him. Let him seek, and he shall find. Let him knock, and it shall be opened unto you. You see? Seeking, you know, and looking for the things of God. The first commandment is, you shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. How in the world is an unregenerated person supposed to do that when they don't even believe in God? They can't, you see. The scripture tells us that the things of God are hidden from them that are perishing. But it's revealed to us who are born again. to see spiritual things, you must be born again. And the Lord reveals them to you. And so we get our focus straight heavenlies, where Christ is. That's where I want to be. Loving the Lord with all your heart. When you love something, when you love someone, you want to be with them. You want to be with them always. There's nobody that's going to stand in your way of being there. I could give you an example after example, but I think you know what I'm talking about. My son Daniel, bless his heart, went into the service last week. Great. You know, it's a proud time for me as a parent. But when he gets some free time, do you think he calls his parents? No, he calls the one that he loves. And it ain't me, pal. And he's going to hear about it too. No, I'm just... But you see, the focus of the thing is you're going to relate, you're going to try to contact the one that you love. And the Lord has already contacted us. He's already poured out the way of salvation. This is the way home, folks. This is the way that you're going to be able to get to me. And all we have to do is respond to that. But there are so many different things that are vying for our attention, isn't there? There's the pressures of work. There's the pressures of life. There's the things that are going on all around us. And more that we want to get closer to the Lord, the more these pressures start to bring to bear. And so these pressures are gifts from God. Yes, yes, I said that right. I didn't misspeak. These are a gift from God. They are to bring us to the throne of God. It brings us to the end of ourselves. Lord, I can't do this job that you set for me to do. I can't lead the people that you have set to lead, as Moses cried out. Lord, who can lead these people? What can I do? Moses brought them to the Lord. He knew what to do. The examples of the Old Testament are for our learning, to where we get to that mountain and we don't know what to do. Come to the Lord. Come to me. Ask, seek, knock. That's why I'm there. And that's why he has done all of these things. Now, in verse 4, as we continue on here, in fact, I'm just going to go ahead and read this sentence, and then we'll come back and dissect it later. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 3, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. And I say that because people that have, well, limited understanding. Sometimes people try to, like, you know, pastors in my position, you know, we're supposed to tell forth the word of God, and people, you know, think that we know everything. Oh, man, there's nothing about the Bible that the pastor doesn't know. And they will come and they will say, what about this? And I'll scratch my head. In fact, one of my standard answers is, hey, dumb looks are still free. Because I don't know everything about it. And people take a limited amount of knowledge and they'll try to run with it. Predestination is one of them. I'm telling you that predestination has caused so much consternation in the church that it's just, you know, we're trying to understand what God is revealing to us. Remember, it's God revealing these things to us. And why? For our benefit. Because if you have been chosen before the foundation of the world, where were you at the foundation of the world? This is a question that God asked Job. Where were you when the foundations of the earth was laid? Answer that question in yourself. Where were you? You hadn't even been born yet, obviously. I wasn't even around. Man wasn't even created yet. So where was I? And yet God chose you before the earth was created. Yeah, and I say amen too, because if he knew me now, he'd probably change his mind. But nevertheless, he knew me before the foundation of the world. And so what am I going to do with that knowledge? People will say, you know, they'll put this, because I was chosen before the foundation of the world, and because I was predestined, then I can just sit back and float. I don't have to do anything because God chose me. He predestinated me. There's no way that I could get out of it if I wanted to. You see how man's ideas start to filter into God's revelation? And that's what we really need to fight against. Because it's God's revelation. It's up to Him to explain it to us. And if we humbly beseech Him to do that, He will explain it to us. And He'll get us to know what these things are. Now, are we supposed to know every aspect? No, we can't. Because if we could, we would be God. You see? And when we base our information on, okay, I've got this little bit of knowledge that the Lord has given me, and so now my intellect is supposed to take over so that I can understand these things and deliver it to the people. And that's not the case at all. The Word of God is the Word of God. And the Word of God is explained by the Holy Spirit of God. All we do is give forth the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit does the rest. If you're feeling encouraged because of the things that you hear in a sermon, it's because the Holy Spirit is encouraging you. If you're feeling convicted about things, it's because the Holy Spirit is convicting you. Now, I've heard people say, oh, I don't like listening to Chuck Smith because I just get so convicted when I hear him. I like to hear this other preacher. Okay. So you don't like to be convicted. It's not Chuck Smith that's convicting. It's the Holy Spirit that's convicting you.
Yes.
It's His job. Jesus said what the Holy Spirit's job was. It was to convict of sin,
yes,
to convince of righteousness, and tell you of the judgment to come.
Yes.
Why? To put the fear of God into you? Yeah. Fear in the reverential respect for what God has done. You see? It isn't to make you afraid. Sin should make you afraid. Being caught up in sin should make you afraid. Being afraid to dishonor the name of the Father should indeed strike terror in your hearts. Because you love them so much, you don't want to do anything to dishonor. You see, that's the kind of thing. And that's what it means that we were chosen before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame. You see, how can we be holy? The psalmist asks, how shall a young man cleanse his way? By giving heed thereto to the word of God.
Amen.
To examine the commandments of the Lord. Jesus said 17 times in his gospel, if you love me in some form or another, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And this is the command that I have to you, that you should love one another. You love God, He knows that. But it translates, if you love God, it's going to translate into loving one another.
Yes.
That you would esteem others rather than yourself. You would seek their welfare rather than your own. Others first. And then let the Lord take care of your issues. You know, sometimes there's some strange things in the scriptures that we read that just kind of like, they just don't kind of sit right, you know? You know, that when Jesus says, the Lord knows, you know, the Father knows what you need before you even ask it. And you just kind of scratch your head on that and say, wow, you know, if I'm hurting and the Lord knows, then why should I pray? Well, you should pray,
yes,
you see? But what you should be praying for is somebody else. Because you're going through something, that means somebody else is going through something too. And to have God's viewpoint on these things, you're going to be thinking about others rather than yourself. So when you're thinking and bringing the Lord, bringing people to the Lord on their behalf, the Lord is going to take care of your needs. Examine the birds of the air. They don't toil, they don't reap, and yet God feeds them. What is He talking about here? He says, I've got your needs. If you just let me have your needs, I will put it in your heart in whom you should be praying for. You will then be my representative. You will be an asset for the Lord in your place of business, in your wherever it is that you go day by day. It's the Holy Spirit that will be doing the work. Why? Because you have died to yourself, your own needs, your own thoughts, your own desires.
Yes.
And you've taken on that which the Lord has given you to do. according as he hath chosen us. Man, that's great. When I was in school, I was always the last one picked for any kind of sporting thing. Has anybody else ever gone through that? Yeah, sure. Yeah. I'm sure there's people that, you know, do we have to take him? Okay, all right. Well, we'll take him, but we get the bucket too, okay? So just to balance things out, you know. But the Lord chose us. And on earth, it's like, man, I don't know what that's like to be chosen. I know what it's like to be settled for, but I don't know what it's like to be wanted, to actually somebody choose me. To me, that's, you know, that's phenomenal. But we should be holy. Now, holy means nothing more than being set apart. Now, in this respect, we're set apart for God's use. And so when Jesus says, if you want to follow me, deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow after me. Deny yourself. That means to die to your own desires, to your own benefits that you can produce, and allow him to pour out his benefits on you. Die to yourself. Deny yourself. It's not just the flesh. It's not just the pleasures of the flesh, but it's here. The battle of the mind. You see, when you get ready to pray, all manner of thoughts and things that I got to do come into your head. Man, let that phone buzz while you're trying to read. Well, somebody else is trying to call, but God is trying to speak to you here. You see, the vying for the attention. Is it the phone? Is it whatever? You know, I sit there and I'll be in, you know, in the zone, man. I'll just be reading, and then all of a sudden somebody pulls into the gas station across the way with their radio blaring like, you know, somebody told them that everybody within 3 square miles wants to hear what's on their radio. I don't know if that's ever happened to you, but sometimes that can be a little distracting. I get a little upset about that. You know, I'm trying to read your word here. You think you could help me out a little bit? Huh? Could you just smite them, Lord? You know, just let a bolt of lightning come and I don't want him dead. I just want to kill that radio, okay? No, it just probably doesn't honor the Lord too, but through the perseverance, you see, the Lord would just say to me, Lord, you know, look, you're in the Word and that's good, but you're not calling on me. You're not asking me to reveal it to you. You're trying to get these things by human intellect, and it's not going to work. You're just going to frustrate yourself. All things must be done by the Spirit. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And he says, I am sending you the Spirit. If I don't go away, the Spirit won't come. So I have to go away so that you will be able to understand the fullness. Because Jesus couldn't explain the fullness to these guys, his disciples, to us, because the Holy Spirit had not come. The Holy Spirit had not been indwelling in the believers. And it's the Holy Spirit that reveals these things to us. Everybody has their job to do. The Father sent the Son sent the Spirit, and the Spirit is the earnest of our salvation. It's the down payment that we receive for yielding our lives to him. We get everything that the Spirit wants us to have. Everything that pertains to godliness comes from the Spirit. But we have to set our intellect aside. And so when we look at predestination, we start to think all kinds of silly things. That, well, predestination means that I don't have a choice. Hogwash. You know you have a choice. You have every opportunity to choose one or the other. The only thing that predestination does is it tells you that God already knew what your choice was going to be, and he's accounted for it. You can't surprise God. Every choice that you're going to make, he already knows about it, and he's already put that into his contingency plans. He knows that we're weak. He knows we're going to sin. He knows we're going to fall. Amen. And he's already accounted for that. So you're not going to surprise him. But we have been predestinated to be holy, to be witnesses of him in this world, to be without blame. Now that's a tall order if you're looking at it from a humanistic standpoint. Because we fail, because we sin, We have to have that forgiveness, otherwise, man, we're going to get wiped out. He has predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now this flies in the face of what the world thinks about God. Don't you know? Okay? The world sees God up there as this tyrannical megalomaniac that is just looking for ways to smite you. Okay? I've seen little cartoons being drawn up where God's sitting in front of his computer and he sees you down there and he's got this big old massive smite button and he's just ready. Okay, wait for it. Ready to wipe you out. But according to the scripture, it says he has predestinated us to the adoption, which means love poured out to those who are not related. You see? And that's the thing. We were not related unto God until we believed on Jesus Christ. Now, which came first, the chicken or the egg? And this is the debate, and this is where it gets a little hairy. This is where it gets dicey in the minds of the scholars today and all generations. Did we receive it when we first believed? Or was it poured out from the beginning of the world? Are we under some kind of irresistible grace where we didn't have a choice that we had to choose? Or is it something that we were able to determine for ourselves? You know what the answer to that is? Yes. Moving on. No. You see, it's in God's hands. He knew. We didn't. When the call came, when the scriptures came, we accepted. God knew we were going to accept it, you see? And once you think you got a handle on it, man, it just gets way overcomplicated because God's involved. We really can't understand it to its fullest, but we trust that because this is what he is telling us, this is what we believe. It's in God's hands. It's way bigger than me. I can't understand it, but it's God's plan, and it's his good pleasure. It's his pleasure. He delights in pouring out information to us, revealing himself to us little by little. Okay, here's something. Okay, we get that. We chew it up a little bit, and then we step forward a little more. And then we run into a roadblock. Lord, I don't understand it. Okay, here's another little piece of revelation. When we believe that, then he brings us closer and closer. But it's the response. He gives out, we respond. That's what free will is all about. He can give out and we can say, wow, that's a toughie. I don't think I can believe that. And he's well with that. He's okay with that. He can wait. He's patient. And he'll just keep on. And it'll be like a splinter in your mind until you yield yourself and go before the Father and says, Lord, this has been bugging me for 30 years. Could you please help me with this? Help me to understand this. And now he goes, ah, I've gotten past the intellect. I've gotten past the flesh. And now I can reveal it to you. Now, here it is. Spoons it to you. And we believe it. And all right. And then we move on. And we move on. In Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 6, I believe, says, let me turn there. Let's just go there. I don't want to botch that. Because it's pivotal. And I know you guys all know this. We've gone over this several times. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This is my proof text for what I had just told you about the spoon feeding of the revelation. This is what he wants to do. He wants to reveal himself to us, to those who have yielded themselves to him. That's what the diligently is all about. It isn't that we, you know, get up the grit to muscle through any doubts or anything like that. No, it's the yielding of those doubts in favor of what he has for us. And he is a rewarder. How does he reward us? By revealing himself more and more and more. as we go through our lives. He starts to put these things in practical uses. Hey, well, I'm getting this. I understand that I can't do anything without Christ. And then I get to work and there's a problem here that I can't solve. Wow. What happened? I thought he was going to help me with this stuff. I thought that when I, you know, if I yielded to him, he was going to answer all my questions. Wrong-o. It's another roadblock, isn't it? What do we do with that roadblock? We go to the Lord. You're setting off on your own again. Okay, you're getting a little ahead of me. I'm putting this roadblock up here to show that your intellect will only take you so far. In any line of the work that you have, there comes a point where you are just at an impasse that you can't go any farther. Be it mechanics, be it chemistry, be it economics, whatever it is, whatever your chosen field, whatever it is that you do for a living, there is a barrier that you're going to run into sooner or later that you can't go any farther. Why? Because you're drinking from a well that will not satisfy. Jesus says, come to me, all you that thirst and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The focus on this world isn't what the Lord has in mind. The focus is on the heavenlies, where Christ is, keeping your mind focused on Him. He's the one that bought you. He's the one that poured out His blood so that our sins could be forgiven. Back to Ephesians, please. To the praise of the glory of His grace. Now this grace is the power that is availed to us to be able to believe. All of these things come hand in hand. Now as we went through the fruit of the Spirit, we realized that, hey, faith is a part of that, isn't it? So we can't have faith without the Spirit of God, because it's a fruit of the Spirit. So where in the world did we get the idea that we could believe? Well, it comes, first of all, from being predestinated. The second of all, it's being chosen. You have been chosen for the Word of God to come upon you. And that Word of God would then have its effect. Ever wonder how some people can hear the Word of God? You'd be sitting in a setting and the Word of God comes and some people are convicted and the other people... Yeah. What is the guy talking about? I don't get it. You see? How is it that the Word of God can reach one and not another? Because the Lord, as the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God, we become born again. We are able to believe it. But it's because of what the Spirit does with the Word of God. The Word of God comes and it brings life to us. And our eyes are open and we're revealed. The Lord is revealed. And in the simplicity, in verse 7 it says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Well, this is basic stuff, Paul. Why are you giving us this? Because this is where it starts. This is the first step of faith. If you don't get this, you're wasting your time going further. I'm telling you. This is the first step because this is what the Holy Spirit does. It convicts of sin. It means that, hey, I have sin and there's something that I need to do about it. Yes. And so He gives us 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now we can move on. But this is always the place where we start. And it's always the place that Jesus said in the book of the Revelations, do the first works. You do all of these things, but you have forgotten from whence you came. You're getting caught up in all of these things. You're setting up programs and things that I have not prescribed. I prescribed it simply. We are all sheep. Sheep are dumb. They wander around. They're worse than guys. I know you ladies can understand that, right?
Oh, yes.
Because we, you know, we're going along our merry way, squirrel. Something shiny's over there. Oh, yeah. That's guys. That's the flesh, ladies. Mr. and Mrs. Guys. But we're so easily distracted. And we think, oh, wait a minute. Things aren't going like they did last week. I don't feel the Spirit moving like I did last week. Let's get something to bolster that up. And programs start to being developed and saying, hey, look, you know, these things, you know, it's not like it used to be. Follow Jesus' suggestion, command, if you want to call it that. Do the first works. Go back to the beginning. Mm-hmm. The Scripture tells us that it is your sin that has separated you from the Father.
Yes.
And to get rid of that sin is so simple. We just confess it. And to confess means that, God, you're right and I'm wrong.
Yes.
I did things that doesn't coincide with your word. Forgive me. And he says, yeah, cool, come on, let's go. Keep on. It isn't a feeling in your emotion. If you can stir up anything by a program or by a series of litanies or anything else, it's not of the Spirit of God. It can only be brought about by having time at the Master's feet, hearing from the Lord. If you're dry today, if you're in need of that living water, sit at the Lord's feet. Be a Mary and sit at the Lord. Or Martha. No, Martha was the server. Yeah, Mary was the one that sat at the Lord's feet. I get those mixed up sometimes. And we get them mixed up too, don't we? I think that I should be serving. I should be doing. That's what's really going to get me closer to the Lord. He's gonna say, look at that good worker. Why can't you be like them? No, he says, no, worker, why can't you be like Mary?
Yes.
Why can't you just sit and listen? Why can't you just have some FaceTime with me? Not the FaceTime, but, you know, face-to-face with the Lord. Because that's what he wants. Technology is just a bane to the society, I'm telling you. Yeah. That being said, I said all that to say this. That the Lord created us for fellowship.
Amen.
And that's what he wants. He wants to see us face-to-face. He wants to be not one on a list of 100 or even 5. He wants to be the first and only.
Amen.
First and only. Father, I pray that you would pour your Spirit out upon us today. And I pray, Father, that you would convict us if we need convicting. And, oh Lord, we do need convicting. Lord, there are things that we won't even admit to ourselves. So I pray, Father, that you would search us, try us, know our hearts, Lord. Reveal to us those things that are keeping us away from a closer walk with you. I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you for your Spirit that takes the word and does the work that you want us to do in our lives. I pray, Father, that our focus would be less and less on this world and more where you are in the heavenlies. Where we sing, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Oh, can't wait to see the day. Strengthen us, O Lord. Deliver us from our own intellect, from our flesh, so that we might serve you in spirit and in truth. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Please stand.